about it. My grandfather Igor helped build the first one.
The first one? But it's just a story for children. And I dreamed about it and...
Grandfather Igor always said there was something very strange about all that, said Igor. The explosion and everything.
It exploded? Because of the metal spring?
Not exactly an explosion, said Igor. We're no strangers to explosions, sir, us Igors. It was very odd. And we're no strangers to odd either.
Are you telling me it really existed? Igor seemed embarrassed about this.
Yes, he said. And then again, no.
Things either exist or they don't, said Jeremy. I am very clear about that. I have medicine.
It existed, said Igor. And then, after it did, it never had. This is what my grandfather told me, and he built that clock with these very hands.
Jeremy looked down. Igor's hands were gnarled, and now he came to look at them, had a lot of scar tissue around the wrists.
We really believe in heirlooms in our family, said Igor, catching his gaze.
Sort of hand-me-downs, said Jeremy. He wondered where his medicine was.
Very droll, sir, said Igor. But Grandfather Igor always said that afterwards it was like a dream, sir.
A dream?
The workshop was different. The clock wasn't there. Demented Dr. Wingle, that was his master at the time, wasn't working on the glass clock at all, but on a way of extracting sunshine from oranges. Things were different, and they always had been, sir, like it had never happened.
But it turned up in a book for children.
Yes, sir. Bit of a conundrum, sir.
Jeremy stared at the sheet with its burden of scribbles. An accurate clock, that's all it was. A clock that would make all other clocks unnecessary, Lady Lejeune has said. Building a clock like that would mean the clockmaker went down in timekeeping history. True, the book had said that time had got trapped in the clock, but Jeremy had no interest whatsoever in things that were made up. Anyway, a clock that measured. Distance didn't get tangled up in a tape measure. All a clock did was count teeth on a wheel or light. Light with teeth. He'd seen that in a dream. Light not as something bright in the sky, but as an excited line going up and down like a wave.
Could you build something like this? He said.
Igor looked at the drawings again.
Yes, he said, nodding.
Then he pointed to several large glass containers around the drawing of the central column of the clock.
And I know what these are, he said.
In my... I imagined them as fizzing, said Jeremy.
Very, very secret knowledge, those jars, said Igor, carefully ignoring the question. Can you get copper rods here, sir?
In Ankh-Morpork, easily.
And zinc?
Lots of it, yes.
Sulfuric acid?
By the carboy, yes.
I must have died and gone to heaven, said Igor. Just put me near enough copper and zinc and acid, sir, he said, and then we shall see sparks.
My name, said Lute Say, leaning on his broom as the irate Ting raised a hand, is Lute Say. The dojo went silent. The attacker paused in mid-bellow. The man did not move, but seemed instead to turn in on himself, sagging from the marshal's stance into a kind of horrified, penitent crouch. Lute Say bent over and struck a match on his unprotesting chin.
"What's your name, lad?" he said, lighting his ragged cigarette.
"His name is Mud, Lute Say," said the dojo master, striding forward. He gave the unmoving challenger a kick. "Well, Mud, you know the rules. Face the man you have challenged or give up the belt."
The figure remained very still for a moment, and then, cautiously, in a manner almost theatrical,